Welcome to the We Have a Meeting podcast, where we sit down with the world's smartest thinkers to give you the actionable tools, insights, and strategies that could make your life more impactful and productive. This week, we have a meeting with...
Sprechen wir doch mal über deinen Traumtyp.
Oh, schwierig.
Schieß los.
Okay, er muss für jedes Abenteuer zu haben sein und natürlich toll aussehen. Und er darf mich nie lang warten lassen.
Klingt verdächtig nach dem neuen Ford Puma Gen E. Der lädt schneller als dein Smartphone von 10% auf 80% in nur 23 Minuten.
Dann muss ich wohl mal
Probefahren.
Der neue Ford Puma Gen E. Jetzt Probefahrt buchen auf ford.de.
Geschäftlich viel unterwegs? Dann ist es Zeit für ein Upgrade. Mit der American Express Business Platinum Card genießt du Loungezugang an Flughäfen weltweit, Reiseversicherungen und 200 Euro Online-Reiseguthaben jährlich. Dazu kommt ein verlängertes Zahlungsziel von bis zu 58 Tagen für mehr finanziellen Spielraum. Und jeder Kartenumsatz bringt dir Punkte. Membership Rewards, die nicht verfallen. Jetzt 150.000 Punkte sichern unter mx.de/smarter-business.
Weißt du noch, als wir mit unseren Mountainbikes diesen Wahnsinnsberg Downhill gebrettert sind, nachdem wir neue Bikes gekauft hatten? Einfach online bezahlt. Mit der Sparkassencard.
Für dich am Start. Die neue Sparkassencard. Eine für alles, egal was du vorhast. Mehr auf sparkasse.de, weil's um mehr als Geld geht.
Welcome to another episode of the podcast. This week we have a very special guest. Not only do we practice his methods and promote his teachings, but I would also go as far to say as I was actually inspired to start the business by him. So it's a big honor to be joined today by the great Benjamin Dennehy, aka the UK's most hated sales trainer. How are you, sir?
Thank you for having me. I didn't know that, Zach. So that's right.
Yeah, you had a conversation with Mike Winnett in the pandemic around, I think the concept was basically, if people are working from home for a boss, they should perhaps cut that out if they're making money and doing well. And it was like a little fire started in my head.
Yeah. Well, that's true. If you're able to sit at home, self-motivated and make money, why do you need to work for someone else?
Yeah.
I'm glad you're probably the only person in the world that did that, right? But you work. So that's how scared most people are of going it alone or, you know, taking
it. Yeah, it was like someone had told me I was being stupid, like you're giving 95% of your earnings to a boss who hasn't done anything. It felt quite, but I've never seen it like that before. It's very strange.
Yeah, well, good for you.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Brilliant.
Right. So we've got quite a lot to fit in. So let's jump into the questions. Yeah. So I want you to imagine I've introduced you to my nana and you've got to explain to my nana what you do for a living without her falling asleep in a chair. What would you say?
Have you ever met a salesman, Nana?
She'll say, I bloody have.
Yeah, and do you think they're shit or good? Be honest.
I would say they're shit.
Exactly. My job is to turn shit into gold. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
There you go. Now, before you ask me, how do I do it, Nan? Even though I love it, you'd have to pay me for that. So that's how I'd explain it to you, Nan. But that's what I do, is I take crap salespeople and make them better.
That's simple as that.
It's as simple as that. And it doesn't work for everyone because not everyone wants to change. So when I work with people, I'm very particular because I want to work with people that want to change. Every salesman I've met desires to make more money. Very few are committed to doing what it takes to make it.
Yeah.
Commitment that matters. Desire, we all desire loads of stuff. I desire to look like Brad Pitt, but it ain't going to happen because I'm not committed to his regime.
Very true.
You know, so desire away.
I suppose there's a saying, isn't there, around people who do can't necessarily teach. So do you find that those are two very different skill sets that you've had to, or were you already good at both of them?
Well, they say those that do and those that can't teach. So I've often had that expression thrown at me. And I think to a degree that is true. There's a lot of crap sales trainers out there. You know, it's very easy to be academic about these things, but can you actually do it in the real world? So it's easy standing up and talking theory. Theory's easy. Everything, sales training's easy. Everything I teach is easy to understand. Doing it is the hard thing. So can they demonstrate that they can actually do that stuff? And this is why people tend to come to me, is because I can spend 2 hours with them and then I can figure out how to sell what they do, and then I can do it in front of them. And that's right. So it's not just that. So it's not academic. But yeah, I think there are a lot of teachers that are crap at this.
Right. So did you find that there was, when you first started out, then the initial bit of credibility was in actually, well, tell me what you do, I'll show you how I do it. And then it was sort of a inventing fire moment on the sales floor.
Well, the problem is most sales trainers that I've experienced sell the way the people they're supposed to be training are currently selling.
Go on.
Why the hell would I hire you? So for instance, I was talking to a company, this is going back a couple of years, before COVID, so nearly three, I guess. And he phoned me up and said, I'm interested in doing some sales training. I've met with a couple of other companies, blah, 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 blah. And we ended up talking, and he told me the biggest problem he was having was his guys going to meetings and it would all go well. They do a proposal or whatever, and then silence, hidden, chasing, nothing landing. And he said it's frustrating. So the conversation continues, and we get to near the crux of it. And he goes, so what I'd like, if you don't mind, are you able to send me some sort of overview, some sort of, you know, proposal? And I stopped him and I said, no, I don't do proposals. He goes, well, what do you mean? I don't do proposals. And he goes, well, the other sales trainers, they've probably told you the same thing, right? He goes, no, they've actually sent me over their proposal. And then I go, can I ask you a question then off the record? He goes, okay, how much did they charge you for the proposal? He goes, oh, nothing. Oh, is that because you haggled them down? He goes, no, they just sent me them. I go, so help me out here, I'm confused, because we just spent 15 minutes you bitching to me about how your salespeople show up, throw up and hope and chase proposals, yet the two other companies that you're talking to have just gone and done the very thing that you don't want your people to do. Is that right? I think it's a little penny drop moment. He goes, that's a good point. I go, well, I'm not going to do that. So how does it work with you? There's a taster session, flippers, floppers, flappers, blah, 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 blah. You pay me a fee for it, and at the end of it, we either agree to work together or we don't. And he goes, all right, let's do that.
Easy as that.
Yeah, obviously I abridged this slightly, right? But that was it. And it's because if you're a sales trainer and you're going out doing exactly the same thing as the people you're going to train, so why would I hire you? I don't need to. Yeah. So you, in order to be treated differently, you've got to act differently. And if I act like every other sales trainer, why would anyone harm me?
Absolutely. I think that's a really good point. And for what we do is, obviously, we're going out there and we're saying, well, we'll take that bit off you, where we will go into meetings and we'll book those meetings for you. And I guess the approach that we use is one that we've learned from yourself. And it's kind of being a bit more direct, and it's saying, like, look, you're going to hate me. And the thing that you can get away with more is people going, like, yeah, all right, it kind of startled me a bit. But if you're going to be doing this on my behalf and getting me in front of these people, when I know it's going to work. So I guess the next question, it leads on quite nicely, because we go out there and book meetings. Was there a meeting in your career which was maybe the penny drop moment for you, where you were like, actually, this is going to work?
There was a particular moment where I got in front of the CEO of a company, cold called this guy in a training session. I was doing live cold calling. I ended up getting an appointment with him, and it wasn't my data. So I was phoning off of somebody that had come on the training and they bought their own data, and I was using theirs just to demonstrate. So I, funnily enough, I'd forgotten I'd set this appointment. And funnily enough, the guy sent me an email, said, are we still meeting next week? I don't even know who he is. So I looked him up, and it turned out this was a much bigger organization than I had thought. I thought it was just some local security company. It turned out it was quite large. So I got in front of the CEO of this company and I did my thing and yada, yada, yada. And he just turned to me, goes, all right, Benjamin, I'm in. I said, what do you mean you're in? He goes, I'm in. He goes, I don't even know what you're going to charge, but I think you've got something and I want to get more of it. And I remember leaving that meeting and I thought to myself, well, I must be good. I must be doing something that works, because this guy, by definition, is a very walking definition of success. He owns a Lamborghini. His company's worth tens and tens of millions. He doesn't need to work. He could retire today and live on everything he's got. Yet this guy turned to me and said, I don't even know what you're going to charge, but you've got something and I want to spend more time with you. And that there was this moment, and you have to have it, where this little voice just said, you are good at what you do now. And that helped me, give me the internal confidence which is important. So it's external validation. We all need it to a degree. But if you're chasing it, then you're in trouble. I wasn't chasing it. It just happened. And that was the important thing. So I wasn't chasing this as an outcome. It just happened. And it just gave me that external validation that I needed, but didn't know I wanted. But when I got it, it was like, yeah, you are good. So yeah, so there was an experience.
And do you think when he said, I don't know what it is, but you've got it and we want it, do you know what it is now that you've got? Do you think it is that you're not bothered about the outcome and you can just go in there and kind of wholeheartedly be yourself? Or
geschäftlich viel unterwegs? Dann ist es Zeit für ein Upgrade. Mit der American Express Business Platinum Card genießt du Loungezugang an Flughäfen weltweit, Reiseversicherungen und 200 Euro Online-Reiseguthaben jährlich. Dazu kommt ein verlängertes Zahlungsziel von bis zu 58 Tagen für mehr finanziellen Spielraum. Und jeder Kartenumsatz bringt dir Punkte. Membership Rewards, die nicht verfallen. Jetzt 150.000 Punkte sichern unter mx.de/smarter-business.
Weißt du noch, als wir den schönsten Sonnenaufgang an diesem einsamen Strand erlebt haben? Nachdem wir spontan ein Zimmer am Meer gebucht hatten? Easy bezahlt mit der Sparkassen-Card.
Für dich am Start, die neue Sparkassen-Card. Eine für alles, egal was du vorhast. Mehr auf sparkasse.de, weil es um mehr als Geld geht.
Yeah, so in many senses, I am being myself now. But when I first started to get good at all the various techniques and doing the sorts of things that I do, I wasn't very good. So I was pretending, I was acting, I was faking it. And over time, learned behavior becomes a habit. And that's what you want. You want behavior to become a habit. So being openly transparent at first was a technique. But now it's just the way I am. So as you get comfortable and you learn to play, you learn to do the techniques, because the techniques are out there. I didn't create any of these techniques. It's all out there. You pick up any sales book and they're going to teach you how to answer a question with a question. I mean, it's Socratic questioning. It's 3,000 years old, right? Yeah, so you can't, wow, you know, none of this is created. Everybody in sales listens to someone do something and says, I want to get good at that, or I want to be able to do that. But a lot of people don't bother to get really good. They just do it half-assed. So I decided to get really good at certain things that I'd picked up that worked. But the key change was in my mindset and how I viewed myself. And when I got to the conclusion that selling isn't about me making money, it's an outcome. Selling is about me finding people. And I only have 5 questions I ask. Do they have a problem I can fix? Do they acknowledge they have that problem? So it's no good me seeing it and they can't. They've got to say, yeah, you're right, we do have a... Can they convince me they want to fix it? So it's rather than can I convince them they need to fix it, I flipped it. Can they convince me they want to fix it? Because I have the solution if it's what I fix. So it's not about me convincing you. This stuff works. I've got a warehouse full of it. Can you convince me you want to fix it? And then I want to know, can you invest the time and money and resources and whatnot to fix it? And do you have a timeline? When do you need to fix this by? Because if no one's working to a timeline, nothing will get fixed. I can't remember the last time I booked a holiday and didn't know when I wanted to go.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah. So you need a timeline. And if they say, oh, well, it's something we want to do over the next few months, well, that's not good enough. No. So I need to find those 5 things. And just to get to those 5 things, it's about finding the truth. And that's all a salesman job is, to get to the truth. I'm not here to convince you to buy my stuff. I know it works. The question is you suitable for it? That's all I'm here to find out. And it takes all the pressure off of me, because there's no pressure.
The psychology that you teach around that, it's almost like I'm trying to talk someone out of working with me, the way I think about it. And they've got to defend their point. And it's almost like they don't realize how badly they, I'm talking when I say they, prospects don't realize how badly they want something until they've had to defend it a little bit. Do you find that as well? Is that what you were?
Oh, yeah, it's my whole life. I spend my life trying to tell people to F off. They won't go away. It's quite pain. But the true story, literally last week, my wife was listening to me on the phone talking to someone I ended it by telling him I wanted him to think it over. I didn't want him to make a decision now, but I knew the answer was I'm in. But I was playing my game because I wanted him to phone up in the morning and with a real assertive, I'm in. He wanted to do it there and then, but I wanted to play the game. And I hung up. My wife said, My wife said, I was listening to you. I said, yeah. She goes, I don't know if what you do is evil or really, really good. She goes, because all you did was tell that guy not to use you. I go, no, it's fascinating, isn't it? And she goes, how did you get him? How did you know he'd go there? I go, because there's only two types of, and I knew, because I know my prospects in my world, I said, he's one of two titles, was a lot of money. I remember that moment. I remember, and I had a wife and a child, and I remember being broke. I remember living on credit cards. And I remember how it humbled me to appreciate, because before then, I was doing all right. But when I decided to really, really aggressively push this sales training, I decided I had to give up my prospecting function. Wow. Because if you have money coming in and you don't really have to sell what you're doing, well, why do I really try, right? So I said, I've got to get rid of the support network. I've got to make this work without earning anything. So getting through that and thinking, sometimes banging my head on the table, tears, thinking, what am I going to do? This isn't exactly working. And then every time my voice said, get a job, it's like, piss off, I'm not getting a job, right? Then make it work. Just got to keep going out. And I've lost, thousands of phone calls, so many bad ones, awful ones. But I learned a lot. And I just made sure I figured out whenever something happened, why did I do that? Why did I react like that? Why did I let that happen? And then I could find out. It was a feeling. He made me, how would you deal with it if you had no emotion? If you're just purely an adult, a robot? Well, that's what I would have said. Then say that next time it happens. So you slowly just build up a repertoire of responses. And so the greatest thing was not going bankrupt and not quitting. So this is it. People quit too soon. Yeah, people give up. Everyone looks at Mark Zuckerberg's and people like that. I want to make billions like him. You know, it took a long time to get there. But you only ever see that, as we all know, the top of the pyramid.
Yeah, exactly.
Never see underneath it. So, yeah, not going bankrupt, not losing my wife. But also, on the other hand, was being able to buy a property for cash, no mortgage. That's another great thing. Oh, and so that was a great moment too, something that seemed impossible 5 years ago. So it's ups and downs. It's part of the journey. But every frustrating, annoying, painful, and uncomfortable thing that happened to me, I look back on now and it was all important. It's like when people have suffered from depression or stuff like that. It feels like it'll never end, but nothing lasts forever. It always ends. You've just got to stick it out, build character, build strength. But people give in, they quit. And not quitting, I think, then, if I had to really, it was just not giving up, even though I wanted to. And you got to be, so make hay while the sun's shining, embed what you're doing, but know that it can't always, and there will be lows and highs. And now the funny thing is your perspective changes, because when you have nothing, you're worried about having nothing. When you get stuff, you're now worried about losing it. So the fear and problems never go away. Well, now you got money and you own stuff, you must be happy. So I am happy, but I also have new fears, because before I had nothing to lose. Now, what if I screw up? I could lose it. So it just swings and roundabouts, right? So money doesn't make you happier. It just makes harder times easier. The best way to put it, but it comes with its own problem. I mean, I'd hate to win the lottery. You know, you want 100 million quid. Mm. Now you're a kidnap problem. You know? If somebody knew I'm worth 100 quid, they could kidnap my daughter. They could kidnap me. I mean, so being rich doesn't suddenly absolve you of troubles. It adds to your troubles.
I think there's a lot in there, what you said. And it's like anyone said, you've kind of got to go through the hardships. And my mum says, if it's not okay, it'll be okay. And I think Zach posted on LinkedIn this morning, and it was that kind of, well, should I start a business? Should I not? What if this happens? What if that happens? It's like, you've just got to remember, and we talk about this a lot, we're all going to die. And really, none of it really matters. In the long run, in 300 years, no one's going to be sat watching this pod. Well, hopefully. But do you know what I mean? In the long run, it's kind of irrelevant. So I guess that's a good point to lead to our next question. So before all is said and done, and you are pushed out onto your yacht with a margarita in hand, on the Mediterranean, what have you got left that you want to achieve? What do you want to do?
Well, I'm learning to fly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wasn't expecting that, Benjamin.
No, nor was I. No, no. I mean, I'm learning to fly. So I've done about 23 hours. I'm currently on the learning to land phase. And tell you what, landing is a lot harder than it looks. And again, no, intellectually, I get it. I know exactly what I need to do to land this thing, but it's doing it. It's the fear, it's the emotions, and it's the physics, and it's the speed, and a lot going on in your brain. It's learning to let go. So you're emotionally attached to the landing, and you're not, so it's like anything, right? So I feel like one of my students when they learn the stuff that I teach, because at first it seems, I can't make this work. I get it, it makes sense, but I can't make it work. I'm like that right now with trying to land this bloody plane, right? So I'm learning to fly. I want to do that because I want to be able to teach my daughter to fly so that when she's 14, she'll be able to do her tests and lessons, and she can have a license by the time she's 16. And that's going to open up the world to my daughter in a way that, you know, many kids won't get. So what do I want to do? I'm not going to be in sales training for eternity. I give myself 3-4 years before I get out, because I'm going to want to do something else. I don't know what that is. Maybe set up a flying business. I honestly don't know. But I don't want to do this forever. I'm enjoying it. And it's making me a good income. But I want to be able to do other things. What they are, I don't know. But I'm only 45. So if I can retire, as in retire as in not work, but... No, you don't need to work in order to live.
Yeah.
But financial independent, I think people would maybe call it. So that's a 5-year goal, is maybe even shorter than that. But and then it's to focus on whatever. I don't know, but it's definitely not sales training. So if you're watching this, you want sales training, you've only got a few years left, because I am getting out. It is a good market. I know it's good, but it's true. I'm not doing this until I'm in my 60s. I guarantee that.
Wow, that's a good marketing message. That's a good, yeah, you don't want to be the UK's oldest sales trainer. So we're almost out of time, but I just wanted to take you back to the start. So if you, I mean, we've covered a little bit of this, but if you were to go back to the start of, let's say the first time you went out on your own, so the first time you were self-employed, and you could give yourself some advice before you started that you wish you'd known when you started out, what would that be?
There's so much advice you'd want to give yourself. I suppose I'm glad I had the core messages when I was younger, but what would I think if I had to go back and tell myself one thing, I think it's the most, there are so many important things I've learned, but letting go of the outcome, because it's so easy to say, it's very easy to say, let go of the outcome. And the problem is I don't think there's any way of speeding up that process. It just happens. But I'd want to tell myself, it's a good question.
You did it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's just,
At PwC, we don't just deliver ideas. We make them work with the expertise and tech you need to outthink and outperform. And we work with you alongside you, from start to finish, so you can stay ahead, so you can protect what you've built, so you can create new value. We build for what's next, so you can get there now. PwC, so you can. PwC refers to the PwC network and or one or more of its member firms, each of which is a separate legal entity.
Geschäftlich viel unterwegs? Dann ist es Zeit für ein Upgrade. Mit der American Express Business Platinum Card genießt du Loungezugang an Flughäfen weltweit, Reiseversicherungen und 200€ Online-Reiseguthaben jährlich. Dazu kommt ein verlängertes Zahlungsziel von bis zu 58 Tagen für mehr finanziellen Spielraum. Und jeder Kartenumsatz bringt dir Punkte. Membership Rewards, die nicht verfallen. Jetzt 150.000 Punkte sichern unter mx.de/smarter-business.
I suppose it's don't quit. But I kept telling myself that anyway. But I think that is the one. There's nothing wrong with quitting if it's right. But yeah, you got to know when to quit in certain things. You know, I'm never going to be a brain surgeon. So if I started brain surgery school, I'd probably quit, because it's it's not going to work, right? So there are certain things you can't do, but it's such a good question because it's so hard to sum up. Because when you say go back in time, and what would you tell yourself to do? It's just everything I've done has got me to where I am, and there's no way I could speed that up or truncate it, I don't think. You have to go through. Mm. So I think, yeah, maybe it would be everything ends. Whatever you're feeling is not going to last forever. And in the time, yeah, I think that would be, and it's just to really hammer that home. This period will end. You've got to stick it out. If you believe in what you're doing, yeah, stick it out. And I was fortunate. I had a wife who was supportive. That's important too. If you're going to, no, maybe this is a better advice. Whatever this is, if you're going to do anything like this, make sure if you're married or you're in a relationship, the other half is 100% behind you, because they got to not. You're going to be broke, and it's going to be tough. And it's often the internal conversations that are non-business related that tear you down. Friends and family are the most likely to pull you down. Yeah, because do you know why friends and family are the most likely to pull you down?
No.
What happens if you succeed?
Is it because there's a risk of you doing better than they're doing?
Yeah, because if you succeed, then what's their excuse?
Right.
You see, that's why people always say no one from our family's ever gone to university, or no one in our family's ever been rich, and they try to keep you there, because the moment you do it, your victim script doesn't apply. And I've met, I won't mention any names, but I know some guys have made a lot of money, and they come very working class background. And they said it's very hard at times because a lot of people around them haven't. And you get comments like, well, it's all right for people like you. And it's like, what do you mean people like me? I'm from the same bloody estate. Yeah, so it's people around you. And people around you will try and pull you down. So my advice is don't listen to people around you. I would listen to someone who's achieved in your world, and if they say this is stupid, stop, I'd give that consideration. But friends and family who haven't made a success of anything, don't let them tell you it won't work, because what the hell do they know? They want to keep you where you are, because the moment you break out of it, what's their excuse?
Very true. From Brad Pitt to brain surgeons, we went there. That was a very interesting. I knew when I said to Zach, we actually spoke in January. We're like, do you think we could get Benjamin on the podcast in February? He was like, let's do it. And we reached out. So thank you so much for joining us. I knew that it'd be an amazing conversation. Yeah. And I know that your words, and even if it is a rehash, I know that you've inspired, and you kind of, the podcast and the things that we've learned from you, you've given us a fire to kind of go out alone and do it. And it's working. So thank you for that, Benjamin.
I think that's great. And like I say, everything I teach, everything I know, I've had to learn. I'm not an oracle. I hate people say it's not. It's like people like Jordan Peterson. You know, he's an incredibly intelligent guy. People like Hugh Laurie. I mean, these are people, you know, and Stephen Fry. These are people I'd be scared to have dinner with, because what the hell would I talk to them about, right? They're so intellectual. But everything they know has come from what they've read and their understanding and interpreting of it. Everything I teach, it's out there. It's there. It's just people just don't, they understand it, but they don't do it. So just pick something. I don't care what selling process you follow. If you just got really good at one, you'd probably do well, but you don't. You look for the easy thing. So that would be my advice. You know, I'm just a guy that knows a lot of stuff because he's read a lot of stuff and he's got good at doing a lot of stuff, but there's nothing special.
That's great. Great. Yeah? I studied music at university, and my music lecturer used to tell me that everything's a remix. And I think that's the same message, isn't it? That there's no, everything's already been done. It's just the way you put it together and interpret it and get good at it. So.
Well, there was, I did a post the other day, and it started off with that quote from the Bible, nothing new under the sun. What's been will be, and what has. And it's true. You think it like the tablet, you know, everything. Oh, tablets are pretty cool. Yeah, but the Romans had tablets. They just weren't digital.
Yeah,
they passed around information on tablets. So there's nothing new. It's just, so everything is a rehash. Yeah, there's nothing new out there. capitalism just rebrands it, remarkets it, resells it. That's why I love capitalism. That's all we do is capitalism.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Benjamin. I know we're going to run out of time, but that was incredible. Thank you so much for that.
Where do we find you, Benjamin, if people watch this? And what's the best way at the minute? I know you're a very busy man.
Well, LinkedIn is the best place to find me. I don't do any other form of social media. I'm Substack. I'm trying to grow a presence on Substack, primarily because the bigger LinkedIns of the world are becoming more censorious. And at some point, they're going to probably have issue with what I say. So trying to build a Substack audience. And obviously my website, which is crap, by the way, folks. I get people contact me saying, you've got a terrible... I say, no, it's a terrible website. But I'm not a marketer. So... but it's UK's most hated sales trainer.com. Though I am launching a new one next month. It's all built. I'm just doing some tweaks and I didn't build it. So don't look crap. It looks quite good. Wow. So watch out for that next month. But yeah, LinkedIn or UK's most hated sales trainer.com.
At PwC, we bring the power of a global network grounded in local know-how. From shifting regulations to fast-moving tech, we deliver tailored solutions that work everywhere you do, so you can stay ahead, so you can protect what you've built, so you can create new value. We build for what's next, so you can get there now. PwC, so you can. PwC refers to the PwC network and or one or more of its member firms, each of which is a separate legal entity.
Weißt du noch, als wir mit unseren Mountainbikes diesen Wahnsinnsberg downhill gebrettert sind, nachdem wir neue Bikes gekauft hatten? Einfach online bezahlt. Mit der Sparkassen-Card.
Für dich am Start. Die neue Sparkassen-Card. Eine für alles, egal was du vorhast. Mehr auf sparkasse.de, weil es um mehr als Geld geht.
Our books are now open. Friends, Romans, countrymen, if you're looking for more sales, and that might be getting more meetings in the diary, meeting more of the right types of people, or breaking into a new area or sector, we've got you covered in two key ways. Number one, we can do it for you. We can kick the doors down, get you the meetings, and do the prospecting that you hate. Or number two, we can teach you how we do it, so you can do it for yourselves, creating repeatable, predictable results. So if you're interested in either of those things, www.wehaveameeting.com and hit the contact us form. Speak to you soon.